As we continue our series, an Advent type of year with the focus on a season of singing. And so we have a few extra songs today, as you can see. And I want to ask you, what is your favorite Christmas or Advent song? Go ahead and share that. What is your favorite Christmas or Advent song, secular or religious? And list it in the comment section, and let's share that with one another. Any song is welcome. Just go ahead and share that in the comment section. Let us know what your favorite song, except if you are going to put Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, we will have you removed from Facebook and no longer, I'm just kidding. We wouldn't do that to you, would we? One of my favorite songs is O Come, Emmanuel. When I hear that song, I know it's Advent. When I hear that song, I know that Christmas is approaching. It's one of my favorites because it's so timely. God, be with us. Come, be among us. If Kay would let me, I would probably try to sing it every Sunday. Advent and Christmas are both a season of singing, a season that we sing our favorite songs on the radio, like Jingle Bells. And so I was curious, what were some of the most listened to Christmas songs? And unfortunately, the Canticle of Mary nor O Come Emmanuel made the list, the top five list. But here are the top five Billboard songs that are most listened to. Not that one, Kay. All I Want for Christmas Is You, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, The Christmas Song, Jingle Bell Rock, and Feliz Navidad. Those are the top five most listened to Christmas songs. Now, these are not songs that we listen to year-round typically, but usually around this season, they do our heart good. They are uplifting, they're joyful and cheery. A lot of the songs that have a very positive vibe. But not Mary's song. The Magnificat didn't make the top five listened to Christmas songs in 2020. And if we break down the text, it's not really a song that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. It's a song, a prophecy that challenges the status quo. A song that challenges the social structure. A song of passion, courage. A song that speaks to the injustices that some people are valued more than other people. A song that directly calls out the powerful, rich, and greedy among us. But where does this 14-year-old girl get this level of boldness and courage to say, surely from now on all generations will call me blessed? Well, it happens before she sings her song in the sixth month when the angel named Gabriel was sent to Nazareth to this virgin girl named Mary. The first words he says to her in Luke 1:28 is, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." The angel goes on to say, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Then the angel goes on to list all the things that are about to happen. Conceive a child and bear a son. Name him Jesus. This child will be great and reign over the house of Jacob. His kingdom will have no end. The angel goes on to explain how she will become pregnant, tells Mary about her relative Elizabeth is conceiving, and then the angel closes with the line, "For nothing will be impossible with God." So how does Mary speak with such boldness? How does Mary speak with such passion? She accepts that nothing will be impossible with God. She says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. God has found favor with her. And it leads to what we know of as the Magnificat, Mary's song of praise in Luke 1, 46 through 55. Hear these words.
My soul sings out to the Lord. My heart exclaims the work of God, my deliverer. For God has seen the status of God's lowly servant, and rightly, from this time forward, all the generations will see that I was blessed. For the Great One has done magnificent things through me. And I call upon the mystery of God's name. God's mercy is for those who honor God from generation to generation. God has shown the hand of justice by scattering the proud, humbling their haughty thoughts. God has brought down the powerful from their high places and lifted up all the lowly. God has filled the hungry with God's plenty and sent away the wealthy with empty hands. God has helped God's servant, Israel, to remember God's rich mercy in accordance to the covenant made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his children.
You see, Mary lives in a village of 50 to 75 families. Getting pregnant for her would have been one of the more dangerous things that she could do. Extremely risky. Oh, and the child is going to be the Son of God. Oftentimes, we romanticize the birth of Jesus with the pretty pictures and nativity scenes and sets. But if we place ourselves in Mary's context, we recognize how risky this is for her. 14, a servant girl, getting pregnant could lead to death. She is despised because she is unwed. And how is she supposed to provide for the Son of the Most High? But yet Mary says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." She finds her voice. Because God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. God has found favor with this nobody, a 14-year-old girl in a small village, that she received the news that she will bear a child, God's son, and she turns into a prophet. She goes from her house to Elizabeth, her relative's home, and sings this song of praise. This song of justice, a song of what this birth means to her and the world. Luke 1, 51 through 53 says that he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The Magnificat is not a warm and fuzzy Christmas song. It's a song of justice, a bold declaration of a new kingdom, a new order, an order not defined by wealth or money, a way of life defined by equality, where there is not the least of these, where there's not homelessness, where there's not poverty, where there's not racism, a place where greed doesn't exist, a new order and a new kingdom. That's why we sing, O come, Emmanuel. Be with us. The Magnificat is a song that prophesies a people where the scales are balanced, where generational poverty doesn't exist, where generational wealth doesn't exist, but the powerful will be brought down and the lowly lifted up. And what does that mean for us? How could we be involved in making space where all people have worth and value? Where the lowly and the powerful sit at the same table. That's the message I read from Mary's song. That systems of greed and injustice and things that exclude people will be scattered. The lowly, the marginalized, the poor, the weak, the nobodies in this world would have a voice because of this girl named Mary. That God chose to use her. Mary's voice gives voice to the unheard, those who are trapped in the chains of depression, or trapped in cycles of poverty, or those trapped in boxes of homelessness. They have a voice and they matter. Mary's song gives voice that even when we push aside those on the streets or those who can barely make rent payments or people that are the least of these, have a voice. They have a place, all because God became human through this lowly servant girl in a nowhere town among a bunch of nobodies. That's how God became one of us, in the slums. So how can we give a voice to the nobodies in our life? How can we hear their voices, meet their needs? How can we make room at the table? How can we elevate the lowly? How can we show people they matter, that they have worth? Mary's song is one that challenges us. Reverend Dr. Judith Jones says this about the Magnificat. Mary sings about the God who saves not just souls, but embodied people. The God that she celebrates is not content merely to the point people toward heaven, but God's redemptive work begins here on earth. Listen to this. God fills the hungry not only with hope, but with food. Rather than being satisfied with comforting the lowly, Mary's Lord lifts them up, granting them dignity and honor, a seat at the table, a voice in the conversation. At the same time, God shows strength by disrupting the world's power structures, dethroning rulers, and humbling the mighty. God's redemptive work begins here on earth, filling the hungry not just with hope, but with food. Mary's song challenges us even 2,000 years later, because the same message applies. As we prepare for the birth of Christ, we are challenged to give voice to the voiceless, food for the hungry. This week I saw a family of four come into the office to receive assistance, two kiddos, and Amanda told me that their father just lost their job 3 weeks ago and they needed some help. You helped them through your generosity, through the Pastor's Assistance Fund. And it reminded me that there are people all over this community that need help. There are people that feel lowly, people that are hungry all across our community, people who are isolated. We can look around and just see them. Mary is challenging us to give them a voice, a meal, dignity. Challenging us to lower ourselves so that there's not rich or poor. We're not divided by those lines, but we are all children of God. As verse 7 in O Come, Emmanuel says, O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. From dust thou brought us forth to life. Deliver us from earthly strife. All peoples, one heart and mind. If we were all in one heart and mind, there's nobody left hungry and thirsty. And everyone has a voice.